Well, it's the night before Christmas. As I mentioned just a moment ago, if you're like me, it's amazing that we're here so quickly, and for some of us, it just seems like maybe you turned around and it was last Christmas and now here you are again. You had presents to get, you have people to see, meals to make, and it all just seems like it's cumbersome. I had a conversation with one of you before the service, and it just doesn't seem like Christmas is really restful. I don't know if you're like me, but it just seems like there's not a lot of rest around Christmas time. A lot of good things, but maybe not a lot of rest. No doubt Christmas brings about a lot of thinking and different types of thoughts depending on our life experiences. I imagine for a great majority of us, Christmas is a really joyful time. It's really exciting. Just seems as the next time we wake up, it's Christmas, and that's the most exciting day of the year. But some of us are here, and the excitement of joy really isn't among us. Maybe because of our life circumstances, maybe because people who were once here in the past are no longer here. Maybe we are nostalgic and reflect on how things once were that are no longer. Christmas can be a difficult time for us. But I think for all of us, we reflect on life, don't we? We reflect on the good and the bad things. And I'm reminded about something that my family once did. And this is just something that came to my mind as I was preparing this message. If you don't know me, I come from a pretty big family. My parents have 5 boys, no sisters. And so when we went on vacation, we would pile up in our van and we would either go tent camping or we would have a camper. And instead of going to amusement parks or restaurants or anything that really spent a lot of money, we would go to national parks or something that was either free or very, very cheap. And we had a great time. My mom would cook meals by the fire, and the best part, as my dad would say, was being together. I didn't know that that's what poor people say, but there we go. What you say when you don't have anything, the best part's being together. I'll never forget an experience that we had on a vacation when we took a very, very long road trip, went all the way out to California, made a big circle, came back. And I remember we were in Death Valley National Park in Nevada. And I remember in this middle of literally nowhere, there were no cities close by. We stayed in what used to be an old mining town that was now abandoned. It had been founded in the gold rush days, and now there's just a campground, and that was literally it. And we stayed there, and I was amazed when nighttime came. I think you know where I'm going with this. There was literally no lights out there. There was no city glow on the horizon that kind of gave an indication that there's someone out there. There were no street lights. Really, the only light that we had was in our camper and the millions of stars that were above us and the moon. But it struck me how in that moment, it literally felt as though we were the last people on earth. The darkness was so strong, so powerful, it just seemed so encompassing, like it just took everything away. And I've come to realize something, that throughout the entirety of the Old Testament and through all of human history up until the New Testament, that is the depiction of humanity. A darkness that is so encompassing that there seems to be no light. The Old Testament has faint glimpses. Maybe this will be the light exploding into the darkness only to fade away in death just like everyone else. And for millennia, for generations, over and over and over again, there was a hope that maybe a light would come, piercing the darkness, shining into what has been devoid. And yet, it seemed that it would never be broken. Not until the passages of Scripture that were read to us earlier happened. Not until the Gospel of John would write these powerful words from John chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, "In him was life," speaking of Jesus, "and the life was the light of men. The light shines into the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Friends, the beautiful picture of all of human history is that darkness befell the earth in Genesis 3 when the first sin happened. And then through all of these generations, where will this light come from? Where will this hope come from? Where will the joy come from? It came in the form of a little baby, a helpless little child born to an unassuming person named Mary, who was a virgin, who was wed to be married to a very unassuming person, Joseph. But the story of Jesus and the story of the light coming into the darkness, it certainly begins at the manger. It begins in Bethlehem, but the light of Christ does not end there. You see, at Christmas time, we're celebrating far more than Jesus Christ's birth. Do you know that? That's what this whole purpose of Advent has been about. Yes, we're celebrating a baby, but that baby didn't stay a baby. He didn't stay in a manger. The Bible tells us that he grew, that he became a man, that he started a ministry. And then we're told not only that Jesus was the light of the world, but Jesus tells us himself that he's the light. But friends, if there's anything that I want you to hear tonight as you celebrate Christmas tomorrow, to have in our minds, the light of Jesus, according to Jesus, is not just that Jesus has come, but that you know Jesus. Can I read you one verse of what Jesus said in his ministry? That light has come, but it comes with a caveat. This is John chapter 8, verse 12. After Jesus had forgiven an adulterous woman from a terrible sin, he spared her life from those who were willing to take it and desiring to take it. The very next words that he said after he has forgiven her and told her to sin no more, Jesus then spoke to the people who were gathered, stunned that Jesus could forgive such a salacious woman. We should see ourselves in this, should we not? Jesus would then say to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Friends, what Jesus is teaching us is the reason why the light of this candle is so important to us. The reason why the manger is so important to us, the reason why the light piercing the darkness of Jesus' coming is so important to us, is because you and I have been called not to a life of pleasure, not to a life of selfishness, not to a life of yours and my best wisdom and thoughts. You and I are called to a life of obedience to the Messiah. You and I have been called to a greater purpose, out of the darkness and into the light. Friends, the only reason that Christmas can be exciting, the only reason that Christmas can be joyful, the only reason that Christmas can have hope is not because family gets together and family being together is the best part, though that's true. The reason that Christmas is so wonderful is not because we open presents and we get to see the excitement of other people and children and grandchildren when we give presents, though that certainly is wonderful. The greatest joy, the greatest hope, the greatest pleasure, the greatest satisfaction, the greatest contentment, and the greatest light and life of all of this world is knowing Jesus. That's my son. Is knowing Jesus, following him, and living for his glory. Friends, you're going to wake up in the morning. If you have children, you're going to be waking up very early in the morning. You're going to have a great time with family tomorrow. But I wonder, is that joy going to be gone as soon as Christmas is gone? Is your excitement going to be gone as soon as the presents are no longer exciting? And is your life going to have meaning when your family goes back to their homes and then you're all alone with maybe your spouse or maybe just you? Friends, do you have the light of the world? Do you have the light that has shone into the darkness, giving you life? If you remember nothing else, this Christmas, let's do more than just be excited that it's Christmas. Let's do more than just be thankful that a baby was born. Let's celebrate that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, came to give you life so that you might have it abundantly by serving Him. One of my favorite things of what we do in the Christmas Eve service is that we close with a punch. No, you're not going to get hit. I think it's a really exciting thing of what we do. We take the Lord's Supper, and then we sing Silent Night at the very end. As we take the Lord's Supper, as we're about to do here in a moment, what we are doing is we are speaking and giving evidence to the world, to our family, friends, and anyone else, that we have this light, and that this light has changed our hearts and made us into new people. So as our deacons come forward, let me explain for a moment what the Lord's Supper is all about. This is not simply or merely tradition. This is not something we do just because somebody decided once, hey, let's make sure to eat crackers and drink juice because that seems like a good thing to do. We take the Lord's Supper as a tangible, evidential, hands-on way of saying, my life is not about me. My life is about Christ. That baby who came into the world went to the cross. He died for my sins. I'm going to commemorate, celebrate, and thank the Lord that my sins have been removed because of what Christ has done. Has that happened to you, friend? Here at our church, this is what we do. We do not believe that the Lord's Supper makes you saved. We don't believe that it gives you anything that you otherwise would not have. We believe that the Lord's Supper is a time for believers, for Christians, to repent of sin that's in our lives and to thank the Lord that He has removed our sin and forgiven us of our sin. So if you are a Christian, if you have believed in Jesus Christ and your life has been changed by the grace of knowing Jesus Christ, you've been forgiven of your sins and you're a member in good standing with this church or any other Bible-believing and preaching church, we welcome you as part of the family of God to take part in the Lord's Supper. But friends, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're here this morning and maybe you're satisfying grandma and grandpa or mom and dad, or you're just here because this was something that seems like a good thing to do on Christmas Eve, we are very, very thankful that you're here. We are overjoyed that you've decided to spend a short time with us on Christmas Eve. But it would be right, best, and appropriate for you to let these elements pass you by. The reason for that is because of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, if you are not a believer, you will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. A man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. If you're in Christ, let's celebrate that the baby died on the cross for our sins, giving us life and light. If you don't know Jesus Christ, then you can know Him today. Come and talk to myself, a deacon, or somebody else afterwards to know Jesus Christ so that you can have the light of all men.